Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, remembered by Avram Goldar, and today we're discussing Baba Basra, Daf Nun Beis, the third parak, Cheskas Abatim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a braisa teaches that one may not accept a pikadon from a married woman, from slaves, or from children, because we suspect they may have stolen the money from their husband, master, or home, respectively, and accepting the pikadon assists their thievery. If one did accept the pikadon from a woman or a slave, it should be returned to them since they may own it. If one accepted a pikadon from a child, yasulo sugula, he should set up a trust for him, meaning he should not return it since the child cannot responsibly safeguard it. The Gemara defines the sugula, the trust, as a sefer Torah to learn from, or a palm tree which will yield fruit for him, while the principle remains. The Braisa concludes, v'kun sha'am v'shas misasan, and any of them who said at the time of their deaths, shall ponihen, they belong to Poni, Yasek Perushan. The Shomer should follow their specification, meaning he should return it to that person. If he does not believe them and suspects they were embarrassed to admit they stole it from the husband, the master, or the home, Yasek Perushan, he should make his own specification to override their specification and return it to the husband, master, or home. Point number two, the Gemara discusses a brother who is managing the father's estate on behalf of all the brothers. And documents of sales and loans appear in this brother's name, and he claims they're from money he inherited independently from his maternal grandfather. Rav says, it's incumbent upon the managing brother to prove the shtaros refer to his personal assets because his name may have been written simply because he managed the estate. Shmuel says, it's incumbent upon the brothers to prove the shtaros are from the father's estate. Abraisa Bo supports Rav. Rav Chisda said that Rav's ruling only applies to Ein Chalukim B'Isasan, where they were not divided in their dough, meaning their food expenses were shared, making it unlikely that one brother has personal assets. Aval Chalukim B'Isasan, but if they were divided in their dough, Emor M'Isaso Kimetz, say that perhaps he saved from his dough, meaning the apportioned food, and built up personal assets. Amoraim discussed if the managing brother's proof would require aiding that the money is his, or if certification of the shtar is sufficient, since Basin will verify its details. And pointing with you, the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph state that the laws of a three-year chazaka only apply to a dispute over ownership, but where one is acquiring property such as a gift, brothers dividing an estate, or the hefker estate of a ger who died, he acquires it by locking, fencing, or breaching its enclosure. Rav Hoshaya taught a brice which states, Na'al gadar paretz kol shu b'fanav. If a purchaser locked, fenced, or breached a property, even minimally, in the seller's presence, harzo chazaka, this is a valid chazaka to acquire the property. This implies that one cannot acquire the property when not in the seller's presence, which is not true. So Rav clarifies, b'fanav, if the acquisition was made in his presence, l'zorek lemer lech chazek ukni, the seller does not need to tell the buyer, go make a chazaka, and thereby acquire it, because his silence indicates his consent to the kinyan. If the kinyan was made not in his presence, he must tell him beforehand, go make a chazaka and acquire it. So once again, the 3 points are number one. A braisa teaches that one may not accept the pikadon from married women, from slaves, or from children, because we suspect they may have stolen the money from their husband, master, or home, respectively, and accepting the pikadon assists their thievery. If one did accept the pikadon from a woman or a slave, it should be returned to them since they may own it. If one accepted a pikadon from a child, yasulo sugula, he should set up a trust for him, meaning he should not return it since the child cannot responsibly safeguard it. The Gemara defines the sugula, the trust, as a sefer Torah to learn from, or a palm tree which will yield fruit for him, while the principle remains. The braisa concludes, v'kun sha'am v'shas misasan, and any of them who said at the time of their deaths, shall ponihen, they belong to Poni, yasek perushan. The shomer should follow their specification, meaning he should return it to that person. If he does not believe them and suspects they were embarrassed to admit they stole it from the husband, the master, or the home, Yaseh Perushu Perushan, he should make his own specification to override their specification and return it to the husband, master, or home. Point number two, the Gemara discusses a brother who is managing the father's estate on behalf of all the brothers. And documents of sales and loans appear in this brother's name, and he claims they're from money he inherited independently from his maternal grandfather. Rav says, it's incumbent upon the managing brother to prove the shtaros refer to his personal assets because his name may have been written simply because he managed the estate. Shmuel says, it's incumbent upon the brothers to prove the shtaros are from the father's estate. A braisa supports Rav. Rav Chisda said that Rav's ruling only applies Dein Chalukim B'Isasan, where they were not divided in their dough, meaning their food expenses were shared, making it unlikely that one brother has personal assets. Aval Chalukim B'Isasan, but if they were divided in their dough, Emor M'Isaso Kimetz, say that perhaps he saved from his dough, meaning the apportioned food, and built up personal assets. Amoraim discussed that the managing brother's proof would require aiding that the money is his, or if certification of the shtar is sufficient, since Basin will verify its details. And pointing with you, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph state that the laws of a three-year chazakah only apply to a dispute over ownership, but where one is acquiring property such as a gift, brothers dividing an estate, or the hefker estate of a ger who died, he acquires it by locking, fencing, or breaching its enclosure. Rav Hoshaya taught a brice which states, Na'al gadar paretz kol shebefanav. If a purchaser locked, fenced, or breached a property, even minimally, in the seller's presence, harzo chazaka. This is a valid chazaka to acquire the property. This implies that one cannot acquire the property when not in the seller's presence, which is not true. So Rava clarifies, befanav, if the acquisition was made in his presence, the seller does not need to tell the buyer, go make a chazaka, and thereby acquire it, because his silence indicates his consent to the kinyan. If the kinyan was made not in his presence, he must tell him beforehand, go make a chazaka and acquire it. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Nun Beis, and our standard Siman is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. A newbie to Yiddishkeit, someone new to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted a pikadon from a child, whose brothers were fighting with their oldest brother managing their father's estate, who presented shtaros bearing his name, was on his way to Ulpan to learn how to say, Lech Chazek Ukni, to buy our property if a kinyan is not made in his presence. Once again, it's slow motion. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted a pikadon from a child, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that one may not accept the pikadon from married women, from slaves, or from children because we suspect they may have stolen the money from their husband, the master, or home, respectively, and accepting the pikadon assists their thievery. If one did accept a pikadon from a woman or a slave, it should be returned to them since they may own it. If one accepted a pikadon from a child, yasul segula, he should set up a trust for him, meaning he shouldn't return it since the child cannot responsibly safeguard it. The Gemara defines a trust as a sefer Torah to learn from, or a palm tree which will yield fruit from while the principle remains. So the newbie Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted a pikadon from a child, whose brothers were fighting with their oldest brother managing their father's estate, who presented shtaros bearing his name, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a brother who is managing the father's estate on behalf of all the brothers. Ba'yonos u'shtaros yotzin al shmo, and documents of sales and loans appear in the brother's name, and he claims they are from money he inherited independently from his maternal grandfather. Rav says, alav lahavi raya, it's incumbent upon him, the managing brother, to prove the shtaros refer to his personal assets because his name may have been written simply because he managed the estate. Shmuel says, alachin lahavi raya, it's incumbent upon the brothers to prove the shtaros are from the father's estate. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted pikadon from a child, whose brothers were fighting with their oldest brother managing their father's estate, who presented shtaros bearing his name, was on his way to Ulpan to learn how to say, Lech Chazek Ukni, to buy our property, if a kinyan is not made in his presence. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph stated that the laws of a three-year chazakah only apply to a dispute over ownership, but where one is acquiring a property such as a gift, brothers dividing an estate, or the hefker estate of a ger who died, he acquires it by locking, fencing, or breaching its enclosure. Rava clarifies, befanav, if the acquisition was made in his presence, the seller does not need to tell the buyer, lech chazek ukni, go make a chazaka, and thereby acquire, because his silence indicates his consent to the kinyan. Shalo befanav, if the kinyan was not made in his presence, he must tell him beforehand, lech chazek ukni, go make a chazaka, and acquire it. So once again, the newbie to Yiddishkeit who mistakenly accepted a pikadon from a child, whose brothers were fighting with their oldest brother managing their father's estate, who presented shtaros bearing his name, was on his way to Ulpan to learn how to say, Lech Chazek Ukni, to a buyer of property, if a kinyan is not made in his presence. All right, so now it's time for our four blot back Chazara. Daf Mem Ches. So the Simur Daf Mem Ches is Moach Brain, and we use Brainiacs. So here goes. The Brainiacs, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Ches. The brainiac studying the thermodynamics of coercion and their halakhic significance, who rightfully assess that a goy forcing a get is invalid on a rabbinic level, which reminds us, the rabbis ruled that a get mu'uzah, a forced get by a goy, is invalid, so that every estranged wife should not go attach herself with an idolater and use every means to persuade him to force her husband to divorce her, mafkatz atzma miyad bala, and thereby withdraw herself from her husband. So the brainiac studying the thermodynamics of coercion and their halakhic significance, who rightfully assess that a goy forcing a get is invalid on a rabbinic level, while trying to determine the exact height to hang up an owner to force a sale of an unspecified field, which reminds us, Rava said the halakha is that they hung them up until he sold them what they demanded. His sale is a valid sale. He added, this is only besada stum, an unspecified field, meaning where the owner could choose which field to sell, in which case he likely consented the sale sincerely. But if they demanded a specified field, the sale is void. This exception, however, is where the owner did not count the money, demonstrating his opposition to the sale, and he had no way to avail those forcing the sale. So the brainiac studying the thermodynamics of coercion and their halakhic significance, who rightfully assess that a goy forcing a get is invalid on a rabbinic level, while trying to determine the exact height to hang up an owner to force a sale of an unspecified field, decided not to test how long a woman needed to be hung before she relented and married a man, when they heard the rabbis would revoke such a kedushin, which reminds us, a maimer said, t'kuli v'kadish kedush of kedushin. If they hung a woman up until she relented and he married her, his marriage is a valid marriage. Mar Rav Ashi said that although a forced sale is valid, forced kedushin is certainly void by rabbinic decree, since he acted improperly. The rabbis acted with him extra legally. Mafkin rabbanu kedushin mineh, and the rabbis revoked his kedushin by making the money ownerless through hefker, based in hefker. Daf mem tes. So the siman daf mem tes is meat, and we often use a butcher in the siman. So here goes. The Edim were so happy that they were believed when they said, Modaya devarenu, that they ordered a special cut of meat at the butcher shop. Meat? Butcher shop? That must be more on daf. Memtaz. The Edim were so happy that they were believed when they said, Modaya devarenu, that they ordered a special cut of meat at the butcher shop, which reminds us, if Edim say Modaya devarenu, our signed edus was after notification from the owner that his transaction was made under duress and invalid, ain't that money, they're not believed. Mar Rav Ashi says, Modaya devarenu, nam money. If they say our signed edus was after a moda, they are believed. Shezen nitamli kaseb, because this shtar is allowed to be written to save the owner from those pressuring him and is not an act of rishas. The Rashbam further explains that he does not consider this edus a retraction of their initial testimony, but additional information. So the Edim were so happy that they were believed when they said, Modaya devarenu, that they ordered a special cut of meat at the butcher shop, stood next to a chassan at the counter disavowing a claim to his cause property, saying, Yepshi betakanas chachamim, which reminds us, the Mishnah Dav Mem Beis Amanov taught that a man cannot establish a chazakah on his wife's property. This seems obvious since he's entitled to its produce. So the Gemara explains the cases where he relinquished his right by writing, Din udvarim inli min chasayich, I have no claim nor argument regarding your property. Since this language cannot relinquish a right one already has, the cases where he wrote it while she was in Arusa before he acquired the right to her produce. Rav Kahana taught this is effective. Nachla ba'lo adam amakam achir, an inheritance coming to a person from elsewhere, meaning rabbinically. Adam masna le'ashol yerushena. He can stipulate not to inherit it. This is effective because of Rava's principle. Kol omer yepshi b'takanas chachamim kagon zos. Anyone who says, I do not want this rabbinic enactment made for my benefit, kagon zos, such as this case, shomilo, we listen to him. So the Edim are so happy they were believed when they said, Modaya devarenu, that they ordered a special cut of meat at the butcher shop, stood next to a chassan at the counter disavowing a claim to his kala's property, saying, Yepshi b'takanas chachamim, while a woman confided to the butcher that she made a sale of property to her husband only to please, but did not sincerely agree to sell it, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that a husband cannot establish a chazakah in his wife's property to prove she sold it to him. Harayesh, this implies that proof, meaning testimony that she sold it to him, is effective and the sale is valid. The Gemara asks, Tema nachas ruach asisi levali. She should be able to say, I made the sale only to please my husband, but did not sincerely agree to sell it. The Gemara brings a distinction if it was his land that she had a lien on with her ksuba, or if it was her nixe malug. Daf nun, so the siman daf nun is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The husband and wife on a non-stop flight, that must be run daf nun. The husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at a picture of a nixe malug that neither could sell, which reminds us. The Gemara said that a woman can sell her nixe malug to her husband. This is challenged from a Meimar's ruling. Ish v'isha shemachu v'nixe malug, a husband and wife who sold nixe malug lost v'lo klum. They have done nothing and the sale is void. He holds neither has sufficient ownership to effect a sale. She owns the land itself and he owns its produce. So the husband and wife on the non-stop flight looking at a picture of her nixe malug that neither could sell. We're sitting behind the former and current owner of a slave who neither was subject to the din of Yom Yomayim, since the former owner still retained the slave's work for 30 days, which reminds us, a braisa discusses one who sells the slaves but retains the slave's work for 30 days and brings a three-way machlokes regarding who has the rule of Yom O Yomayim, exempting the owner if the eved dies after 24 hours. Rabbi Elazar says that neither has the Yom O Yomayim exemption. Zeh lefi she'eino tachta v'zeh lefi she'eino kaspo, the buyer, because the slave is not under his domain, and the seller because he is not his property. Rabbi Elazar requires kaspo hamiyuchad lo, property exclusively his. So the husband and wife on the nonstop fight looking at the picture of her nixon malug that neither could sell. We're sitting behind the former and current owner of a slave who neither were subject to the din of Yom O Yomayim, since the former owner still retained the slave's work for 30 days. Overheard a wife tell the woman sitting next to her that she was on her way to make a machal against her husband, establishing a chazak on her nixon malug, and dug ditches in her cherished rose bushes, which reminds us, a husband can establish a chazak in his wife's property which he damages, such as by digging ditches, and therefore the wife needs to protest. Daf Nun Aleph. So the Simran Daf Nun Aleph is a beaver because beavers gnaw. Nun Aleph. Gnaw. So here goes. The man who sold the field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam. Beaver? That must be on Daf Nun Aleph. Gnaw. The man who sold the field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if a man who sells property to his wife can claim he was trying to uncover money of his which she had hidden from him and did not intend to sell her the property. So the man who sold the field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam knew that she wouldn't acquire it with the shtar of sale written on beaver hide parchment, which reminds us, a shtar of sale does not acquire property until money is given. Although a braisa teaches, if a shtar states, Sadi mechurulach, my field is hereby sold to you, or Sadi nesunulach, my field is hereby given to you, harizim mechur of a nesuna, it is sold or given, apparently proving that the shtar of sale does transfer property. Rav Hamnun explained it refers to mochur sadeu mipnei rasa, one selling his field because of its poor quality, who wants to finalize the sale immediately. So the man who sold a field to his wife to get her to reveal money she was hiding in a beaver's dam knew that she wouldn't acquire it with the shtar of sale written on beaver hide parchment and grabbed his beaver hide sack to gather peros from another field he sold her because it was a sale, not a gift, which reminds us, Rav Huna Bar Avin sent the following message. Hamochah sadeh l'ishto, if one sells his field to his wife, kansu ubal ochel peros, she acquires it and the husband receives its produce like any property she acquires from elsewhere. However, Rabbi Abba, and all the Gedolei Hador said, he does not receive its produce, but matana b'kishlit noah, he actually wanted to give it to her as a gift, from which a husband does not receive produce since it's given generously. And the reason he wrote the shtar as if it was a sale was, kedei liyapos his kocha, to enhance her rights, entitling her to compensation if the land is collected by the husband's lender. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn that a son who is no longer supported by his father can establish a chazaka on his father's land? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number two, which stuff do we discuss whether a husband can claim he sold his wife property to see if she was hiding money she took from him? That's on Daf Nun Aleph. Good. Number three, which stuff do we have a case where a brother managing the inherited estate presents shtaros bearing his name? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number four, which do we learn that a Mamar holds that neither the husband or the wife has sufficient ownership to sell her nixei malug? That's on Daf Nun. Good. Number five, which stuff do we have a machlokes whether Adim who testify Modahaya Devarenu are believed? That's on Daf Mem Tes. Good. Number six, which of the women that one may not accept the pikadon from married women, from slaves, or from children? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we have the simon of Amalek to remember the four cases of Eidus, which could hypothetically prevent collection from himself? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Good. Number eight, which of the women a shtar of sale does not acquire until money is given, unless the seller want to close the sale immediately because he was selling poor land? That's on Daf Nanav. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you discuss if a forced sale of a specific field is a valid sale? That's on Daf Memches. Good. Number 10, which stuff do you discuss when saying Lech Chazek Ukni is necessary before acquiring someone's property? That's on Daf Nun Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zirchu, wishing you a great day and great learning.